Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We all know that there are things to celebrate in this life. We get to celebrate the birthday of Betty Vance, 100 years old today. We get to celebrate the fact that, we have July 4th coming upon us, known as Independence Day. You know, when it comes to that national holiday, it's not just about parades and cookouts and fireworks. It's a day that we celebrate the birth of our nation. It's a day we, the people of the United States of America, celebrate our independence from the rule and the reign of the king over the sea in Great Britain. In 1776, our founding fathers asked in much more eloquent ways than this, "Who are you to say? Who are you to say that we should be taxed excessive amounts for goods? Who are you to say that we need to worship in certain ways? Who are you to say that we can't bear arms? Who are you to say that we can't gather peacefully? Who are you to say that we can't speak critically about those in authority over us? Who are you to say, O King, who are you to say that you have any say in our lives in this new land where we are fully capable of ruling ourselves?" Whether or not that was a just cause, we'll let others debate. But we can be sure of this: our nation was founded on a desire to be independent from the rule and reign of a king who lived over a sea, whose authority was questioned, challenged, and ultimately rejected. You can go so far as to say that as a nation, we are a rebellious and independent people. A nation founded on independence produces a people of independence. Now, at times, this is a good thing. At other times, it causes all sorts of problems for us. For those who are on top of the society, to those who the world sees as the lowest, the question that does come up over and over again is, who are you to say, as we question, as we challenge, and as we oftentimes reject the authorities that come up in our own lives? Though, truth be told, this problem with authority isn't a national problem, isn't founded in any political system or simply just in our national history, but in our own humanity. It's common to all people that we take comfort, find security, when someone in authority works on our behalf, right? When they give us what we think that we need or protect us from harm. But when someone exercises authority over us and imposes limits on our freedoms, we don't like that. So universally, we have a problem with authority. Humans want to be free from authority. Such is the history of humanity that is illuminated in the Holy Scriptures. We see both God's authority and we see our rebellion. With his authoritative word, God called creation into existence out of nothing. With his authoritative word, God placed man and woman in the midst of his creation to reflect his image as they lived dependent upon each other and upon their creator. With his authoritative word, God placed limits on his creation, setting boundaries that they were not authorized to cross. With a single act of rebellion, with a hand that grasped that which was not authorized to hold, the whole human race was plunged into war of independence from God and sought to be free from him. Eating that which was forbidden became a declaration, whereby the sons and daughters of Adam and Eve would attempt to live independent of God, and as an unintended consequence, to live independent of each other. The price of this treason was death. Death whereby the soul would live independently apart from the body, and death whereby the body and soul would dwell apart from the Creator in a place reserved for the serpent Satan, the very king of treason. All of this because Adam and Eve brought the lie that caused them to question, who are you to say? So it is with us. Humanity steeped in sin and rebellion produces a people who are, by nature, sinful and unclean. From early on, we test authority, rebelling against our parents, our teachers, and others placed in authority over us. We try to push the boundaries and challenge authority. From early on, we want freedom. Every time you've challenged your parents saying, well, who are you to say? You have challenged God, who has given your parents to be in authority over you. Every time you disregard God's commandments, you rebel against his authority over you. Every time you try to live free and independent of God and the neighbors that he has given you to serve, well, then you are, in effect, saying to the king, who are you to say? Just as Adam and Eve faced consequences for their rebellion, so too do we. Children are taught that actions have consequences. If you hit your sister, well, you're going to have things taken away from you. If you hit your sister might go ahead and hit you back. The parents are the God-given authority in the household, and yet children rebel in ways great and small. There are always consequences. Now, love and forgiveness, yes, but consequences still remain. When we rebel against God's commandments, there are consequences. He has revealed to us how we are to live in relation to him and to one another by giving those boundaries which we are not to cross for our own good and for the good of our neighbor. And yet we push the boundaries, we rebel, we sin against God, we sin against our neighbors, and there are consequences for our actions. Love and forgiveness from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, yes, but consequences nonetheless. The rebellion has to be stopped. You know, humanity was never created to live independently from the Creator. Humanity was never created to live in independent isolation from one another. Humanity was never intended to live free from living and loving and serving others. Yet this is the result of our power grab, our quest for independence, our desire to be free from God. It's our sin. It's warfare against the will of the Creator and a rebellion that must be put down. But like so many wars, once it has begun, it is not so easy to end. In fact, on our own, we're not capable of stopping it. We are unable to lay down our arms and to end the assault. The Creator must end it, because he is the only one who has the authority to do so. He is the only one who has the power and the authority to either squash the rebellion or to pardon the guilty. He is the only one who is able to truly set us free. Now, freedom defined by God is never a freedom from God, or a freedom from authority, or a freedom from our neighbors, or a freedom from our responsibilities, or a freedom from earthly consequences for our actions. The only freedom from that God brings about is a freedom from our sinful nature that results in a traitor's death. And that freedom comes about as Christ himself drags you out of the kingdom of Satan and sets you under his gracious rule and reign. What's the cost of that freedom? You've heard the expression, freedom isn't free. Crosby, Stills, and Nash and Young wrote a song called Find the Cost of Freedom. It was a protest song for the Vietnam War in the 70s. The lyrics were set to a somber tune, which goes, find the cost of freedom buried in the ground. Mother Earth will swallow you. Lay your body down. Right, while it was originally a song protesting the draft and the loss of life of young men, I think we could say today that it sums up the expression that freedom is not free. Freedom comes at a high cost. A price is paid, and that price is blood. when we were drafted into the battle of independence against our Creator and against our neighbor by our first parents, and while we were still living under the authority of Satan and his kingdom, God graciously and mercifully drafted plans to put an end to the warfare. He took up our flesh in the person of Christ Jesus. He came as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and yet he came in all humility, and he lived obediently to the Father's will while in our flesh. As man, the perfect man, Jesus purchased our freedom by laying down his life. He was mocked as the King of the Jews, crowned with thorns, then crucified on a cross made by the Romans, and he was buried in the tomb. Jesus suffered for your rebellion. God the Father's plan was that the earth would swallow up the Son of Man, the Son of God, and there the whole world would see the cost of freedom buried in the ground. Blood was shed. A life was given. Not just any blood or any life, but God's life for ours. The life of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for yours. Unlike the bodies of the countless soldiers in the past who still lay at rest in the ground, Christ Jesus is risen. He is not lifeless in the tomb, but living and reigning as the King of all creation. His resurrection is the first, and someday soon, those who have been laid to rest in the tomb in faith in Christ will rise to meet the King in a recreated body as the King gives it at his return. His life was given for you so that your life would be found in his. Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. The Apostle Paul says, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. If you are in Christ, well, then the war of independence from God has ceased, and you are set free to be his people, a people who understand what true freedom is. And to be clear, once again, true freedom is not license to live however you see fit with you yourself as God. No, that results in things like sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Remember, these are the things that by nature we were enslaved to as we sought only to serve ourselves. True freedom, freedom in Christ, has to do with our serving neighbors in love. Love that was shown first to us, even in the midst of our rebellious war of independence. Love that was enfleshed in the person, in the work of Jesus. As a result of Jesus loving you patiently and joyfully serving you to bring you his peace, showing you the kindness of the Father in all gentleness and in perfect self-control, now you, in the power of the Holy Spirit, are set free to do likewise. You are free to bear the fruit of the Spirit for the benefit of your neighbor. You are free to live as God has intended you to live in faith to God and to live in love for your neighbor. And yes, it is true. In this freedom, we will still struggle. We will at times struggle to trust God. We'll certainly not love our neighbors with perfect love. We will still deal with the consequences of our earthly actions. And yet we are set free to confess our sins, to turn again to the King who laid down his life for us, to be restored and forgiven, assured again of his love and his mercy, and then seek to be reconciled to our neighbors under the cross of our King, and seek again to love our neighbors as Christ Jesus has first loved us. That is true freedom. Jesus has paid the price of your freedom. He has rescued you from your slavery to self, to sin, to Satan. You are his as you live under him in his kingdom, under his gracious rule and reign, under his authority. Now, instead of saying, well, who are you to say? Well, you thank the Lord and you sing his praise. And you are free to tell everyone what he has done. He has given his life in loving service for you so that you might live in loving service for others. The Son has paid the cost of your freedom. The Son has set you free. You are free indeed. And so stand firm in your freedom. Amen. And may the peace of God, which comes from Christ Jesus our Lord, guard your hearts and your minds as you live in light of his freedom. Amen.